defiles it because there's something he's after, some good he's after. Satan does it, and he tries to confuse you and keep you blurred and keep you away from the good that it's designed to accomplish, so you'll respond incorrectly, so it'll hurt you and not help you. But in every permission, there is a set limitation. God always says to Satan, you can do this and no more. You can do this and no more. Now, he'll make you feel like he can do whatever he wants, but you say, no, you're limited. And see, what happens to us, we can put him out of a job if we will try to focus in, not the vehicle that God's dealing comes to us, but the purpose for which it came to us. And once we find that and we're able to accomplish it, then we can say, I rebuke you, Satan, and he'll be gone. Now, how many of you have ever been in a bad situation and rebuked the devil and he didn't go? I rebuke. Well, because he hasn't fulfilled whatever God gave him permission for. We can speed up the process by quit being so flabbergasted by the vehicle or by the package and look at the contents, allow that to happen, and then when he's no longer needed, we, by the power of the authority of God, can say, get thee behind me, Satan. He's got to go. We put him out of a job. We just laid him off. Now, how we're able to see that is in the midst of it. Satan's attacking. Things are happening. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. I can't see real good, but I know you. I know your character, and I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, Lord. We need to be able. Now, Matthew 7 and verse 7. How many know praying is dangerous? It really is. For most those of you that aren't really understand prayer, don't pray unless you mean business, because God will answer your prayer. He will answer your prayer. Only problem is he doesn't answer it the way you think it ought to be answered. Again, he has his own ways. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. I want you to notice it doesn't say you shall find, you could find, you might find. It says you will find. If you ask, you'll get. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. And then in verse 8, just in case you missed it, he emphasizes it again. Because he wants everybody to understand, and he says this, for everyone, say that, everyone who asks will receive. And everyone who seeks will find. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And then in case you're still thick-headed and you don't really know what he's trying to say here, he goes on in verse 9 and he says, and what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf of bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask him for a fish, will he give him a snake? Will he? And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who's in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? The emphasis here, if you ask him for something good, that's what you're going to get. But see, a lot of times, because of our ineptness of seeing God, that we'll pray and we'll ask God for something, he sends the answer, but because we can't clearly see, it looks like what God sends to us is bread, but it looks to us like a stone. We're saying, Lord, you sent me a stone. God said, no, this is bread. And he said, no, and you say, no, I know what a stone looks like, and that's a stone. God said, no, son, it's bread. And as you begin to thank the Lord, say, all right, by faith, thank you, Jesus. This looks doesn't look like bread. All of a sudden, your eyes clear up, and all of a sudden, it's the very thing that you've been praying for. I was in prison, as most of you know, and I realized after 2 years in prison that I didn't have a whole lot of love in my heart. My heart was cold towards a lot of unbelieving convicts. They were cruel. They were terrible. And I remember I got convicted by the fact that I didn't have a real heart of love. So I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, I want to be more loving. Dangerous prayer. Very, very dangerous prayer. I mean, you know that's bread. That's a good thing to ask for. That's in God's will. He'll answer that prayer. He said, oh, man, I'll answer that prayer. I'm tempted to do something. One of the One of the things John always does, I always go into John's office, and he always approaches God differently. And sometimes he has this picture of God standing up there, and we're down here praying. You know, our normal prayers, bless me, help me, you know, deliver me, you know, do this. And, you know, God's just up there just listening to the prayers. He says, oh, man, same old stuff day after day, you know. Then all of a sudden, one of the saints says, Lord, make me more patient. And God says, what? What did he say? He asked for more patience? Do it, angels, get down there, do that right now before he changes his mind. I mean, and so I'm down there. I said, Lord, make me more loving. God says, what did Newsom say? More loving. All right, send it to him. Send this bread to him. And what he did is I prayed that prayer, and what happened was the guy that slept over top of me, my bunkmate, who was a sweet guy, we got along great, he got moved, and in his place was the most belligerent, obnoxious fool I ever met in my life. Man, and when I tried to respond to him, nothing but hate came out of me, not love. And about a week later, I was praying, Lord, remove this guy. And I felt God speaking to my heart, make up your mind. He said, you want to be more loving? So I send you somebody that is designed specifically to make you more loving. And now you're saying, get rid of them. How many of you know that looked like a stone to me? But how many of you know it was bread? Brother Raymond and I and a bunch of other brothers were praying for revival at Sumter Gladiator School. Not very much was happening. We're praying, Lord, send revival, send revival, send revival. About 2 months later, we're fasting in prayer. 2 months later, we got a riot. I mean, just all kind of, literally, hell broke loose on the compound. And I remember being in the gym, barricaded in there with other people. And I'm saying, Lord, no, you misunderstood me. I said, revival, not riot. I know they sound the same. Now, God didn't cause the riot. He allowed it to happen because he understood that the riot, let me tell you, when the riot was over, revival broke out. Because it brought a lot of those men to their senses, brought them a lot of them to an end of themselves. They saw the horror of what one man can do another man when he has unreleased anger upon one another. And then with a year, we had 120 people out of a population of 800. And we started out at 3. What I needed to do in the midst of that, saying, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but thank you. And as I begin to thank him, things will begin to clear up. I've had one of the most hardest summers financially that I've ever had. I mean, just nothing has come in. And for the most part, I've been grumbling. I've been complaining. It's been hurting me. It's been robbing me of joy because I saw it incorrectly. What was designed to help me was hurting me. Because a lot of times I prayed and I said, Lord, one of the things I did in May, I said, Lord, pour out a financial abundance on this ministry. I bet you the Lord says, great. I've been wanting to do that. This is great. He says, but before I can do that, I've got to get you in the ministry ready to receive it. I said, no, Lord, I didn't ask for that. He said, just send the money. He said, no. How many know that the Lord is concerned not only with our ability to get a blessing, but our ability to keep a blessing? He said, son, I've blessed you in times past, and you didn't keep it. It didn't help you. It hurt you. How many know the prodigal son, when he got his inheritance prematurely, he did 2 things with it. He squandered it, and it squandered him. And God says, a lot of times we're saying, Lord, bless me. He says, okay, but let me get you ready. Let me mold you and shape you to get ready for the blessing. So number one, it won't hurt you. It will bless you. And number two, you can keep it. Because God wants us to keep it. So what the Lord's been doing this summer is he's been dealing with the vessel that's designed to receive the blessing so that when the blessing comes, it will be just that, a blessing. John D. Rockefeller once said in his autobiography, he says, I've never been able to give to anybody in a substantial way without it hurting them. He said, the money that I gave them to alleviate pain always caused more pain because they weren't able to handle it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things. God, you're praying, say, God bless me. God says, okay. But instead of the blessing coming, he is dealing with you, the blessee, so that this mean? One of the things that Philippians 4, 6 says is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. I began to understand that a lot of times God's not going to answer my prayers the way that I do them. And so when I make a request now, immediately after I pray, I start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I want to be able to see when the answer comes, it doesn't look like a stone to me, but it looks like bread. Are they all out? Power on?
Okay.
That looks pretty good in there. Well, probably what it was is that every one of you would want a tape of this, and it probably would go to my head, and I couldn't be fit to live with, and so.
Quit laughing, brother. Oh, we're back.
But I'm learning. I'm learning that when I pray for something, that after I pray, begin to thank God. Begin to thank him because he says you will receive. And as I begin to thank him, I'm finding out that a lot of things that I previously would see as something negative, I'm beginning to see that it has the appearance of negative, but I look past that to find the purpose of it, and I'm able to see it and able to receive from it. And once I do, and then the vehicle, the circumstances are no longer needed. And so then they go. One last passage. It's over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. It says in verse 16, rejoice always. In chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything. Say that. In everything. Give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. When Pastor John's car broke down in Tiveri, give thanks. When the finances don't come in, give thanks because God is out to do something. We can say thank you, not so much to circumstances, but what God's trying to do in the midst of the circumstances, and knowing that he is a God that loves us and he won't do anything to hurt us. And it would behoove all of us to just begin to thank him. Our eyes are beginning to focus. We begin to see what he's after. We allow that to work in our lives. And then we come here on Sunday morning with a heart of gratitude of what he's doing. Let me tell you, thankfulness will train our spirit to a positive outlook. I mean, you can find something wrong with anything if you look hard enough. I can tell how close I am to God by how grateful I am. When I'm away from God, I find things wrong with everything, and it makes a griper out of me. It makes a griper. I begin to gripe. And therefore, those things which were in my life which has something in the midst of them that are designed to produce good to me, I fight that, and all I get is the vehicle, and I don't get the purpose. All I get is the package, and I don't get the contents. Let me tell you something. If you're going to send me a package of persecution, I'm going to find the content of good that's in the midst of that. I'm not just going to take the persecution without getting the good. And let me tell you something. And when you find the good, the persecution was worth it. And you begin to understand that, but that was the only way God could have done it. If there was an easier way, God would do it. Let me tell you something. If there is an easier way, God will do it. And we just need to thank Him. Give thanks in everything. It's a lively sense of good received. Let's stand together.